Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Freedom.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here. In our final Monday at Rolla J Studios, here on at Northeast Fremont and 75th in Portland, Oregon. It's my last week in this house. I will be officially homeless as of February 1st. That's right. Homeless, folks. Casting my lot upon the waters, going from state to state, town to town, to embrace the Legalize America tour. And I will be somewhere near you, perhaps. So follow me at Radical Russ if you'd like to keep track of where I'm at. And maybe if you got a couch I can sleep on, that'd be cool too. But all sorts of stuff to talk about here in hour two. We're going to talk about pot DUIs up in Denver. Also, we've got a little mini rant on capitalist marijuana legalization. A terrifying story out of California where some violent escaped inmates are on the loose, and one of them cut the penis off of a dispensary owner. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We've also got our second Canadian man being imprisoned for life for doing what people are doing legally in four states now. And a story from the internet, as Instagram is warning young females like our friend Coral Reefer not to post pot smoking selfies because it'd be against the law. Okay. And Nebraska still whining about marijuana from Colorado. We'll get to all of that. But before we do, I do want to mention that next show, tomorrow's show, I'll be coming to you live from Boise, Idaho, back to my home stomping grounds as part of my Legalize America tour. I'm appearing at the Boise State University Jordan Student Union Ballroom in a marijuana town hall meeting that takes place tomorrow, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll try to stream it live here on CannabisRadio.com. But I'll also be doing my live show from Boise as well, so looking forward to that. Now, before we get too deep into the show, here's some quick good news. You know how on this show we cover a lot of stories where cops kill dogs, where these cops kill dogs as part of a drug raid, you know, no-knock raid. First thing to do, shoot the dog so they can prove what big, bad men they are and scare the hell out of, you know, the family into complying. Well, in Colorado, in the Denver area, Commerce City, the city of Commerce City, has just paid $262,500 to a family whose dog was killed by a cop. So good news there. Better if the dog was alive, but over a quarter million dollar settlement. The Animal Law Center filed a civil suit in this case. What it was is their three-year-old dog, Chloe. This wasn't even a drug case. Chloe was killed November 24th, 2012, when police were called to a Commerce City neighborhood about a dog running loose. Police tried to capture the dog with catch poles and used a taser, before Officer Robert Price shot the dog 5 times. A neighbor recorded the incident and posted the video on social media, quickly sparking questions and anger from animal advocates and pet lovers. Price was acquitted in October 2013 by an Adams County jury of aggravated animal cruelty in the shooting. So he didn't face any criminal penalties, but Commerce City is out $262,000. You want to bet none of that comes out of the officer's pay, right? The taxpayers end up being on the hook for this officer shooting a dog to death just because it was running loose. All right, we're coming back with Tales of Nebraska and Instagram when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour. And I hope you got to see some of the football games this Sunday, the championship games. That led to the Denver Broncos facing the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl in less than 2 weeks now. Do you realize since marijuana was legalized in Colorado and Washington, either the Denver Broncos or the Seattle Seahawks or both have been in the Super Bowl? Marijuana, the gateway to the Lombardi Trophy. It was tough for me watching these games, too, because, like, you had Peyton Manning and the Broncos against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and I despise Tom Brady and the Patriots. Do I have to give reasons? Reasons aren't necessary, are they? I despise Tom Brady and the Patriots, but I also have a very strict anti-Manning policy. I'm against all Mannings. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Archie Manning. That brother of theirs, Cooper Manning, they never talk about. What's he up to? I think the only Manning I like is Chelsea Manning. But anyway, it was tough for me because I didn't know who I wanted to win or lose that game, you know, because I disliked both teams just and both quarterbacks pretty close to equally. So it coming down to Tom Brady failing to make the Super Bowl by completing a improbable comeback that required a 2-point conversion because their kicker missed an extra point. I think that's as good as it could have got for me. I think that's as good as it could have got. And on the other side was interesting because, you know, I don't like Cam Newton much for SEC reasons, but I don't mind the Panthers. But the Arizona Cardinals, of course, knocked my Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs. So I wanted to see them lose. So I guess it was satisfying to see them get pretty much blown out of the water in the game. So the Super Bowl set, Carolina Panthers and Denver Broncos. I've got to root for Carolina because, again, my anti-Manning policy. But enough about football. Let's get back to talking about marijuana, where there's a story out today. And I see these stories all the time. I very rarely bring them to you because there's so many of them, of so-and-so busted on the freeway with X pounds of pot. Like, I could do that story every day, right? It's really not news. This just in, prohibition still in effect, right? So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to add, but this one I think was kind of interesting because it's the Nebraska sheriff. It's a sheriff in Lancaster County, Nebraska, one of those western Nebraska counties that's up against Colorado. They busted a 68-year-old Colorado man with 515 pounds of marijuana in his pickup truck. 515 pounds of marijuana. Now, the authorities are saying that's $2.5 million worth of marijuana. So let's do the math. 2.5 million divided by 515 pounds means they're talking about $4,854 pounds. Who the hell in Colorado is paying $4,854 a pound for marijuana? Nobody. Nobody. Now, of course, what they're doing here is they're calculating the entire the street value, which they break it down all the way to eighths, right? So if it's $4,854 a pound, you divide that by 16, you're going to get yourself $303 an ounce. You see, that's where they're getting it from. They're breaking it down to the ounce level. And if we break that ounce down to eighths, of course, you're going to get $37.92 an eighth, $40 an eighth, right? So that's how they come up with those $2.5 million. Now, they also found marijuana, a pipe, and $4,441 in the cab of the truck. But they're investigating this. These caught on I-80, and they found four U-Haul moving boxes, four large duffel bags and a large tote full of marijuana. And this dovetails into their lawsuit, you know, that these Nebraska and Oklahoma are a part of. I'm sorry, Lancaster County is in eastern Nebraska. My bad. I said it was one of those counties up against Colorado. My bad. Other side of the state. It's where Lincoln, Nebraska is. But anyway, they've been complaining that the prohibition in Kansas, in Nebraska, and Oklahoma, these states have been complaining that their prohibition can't work. Our prohibition can't work because Colorado's got these liberal policies on weed. And it always kind of just, and this is what they're asking the Supreme Court. They're saying, hey, Supreme Court, look, you gotta shut down Colorado's legalization because we can't enforce our prohibition. And that argument bugs me, coming from the people who are making it. Because the people who make this argument tend to be your conservative types, right? And they're complaining to the federal government that a state next to them did something that they don't like. And so the feds should step in and tell that state what to do. Are you feeling the hypocrisy yet? Are you feeling the whole angle of, hey, wait a minute, aren't you conservatives the ones that are always saying states' rights? Aren't you the ones like in Nebraska and Kansas that keep saying that your state ought to have the right to restrict abortions or ban gay marriage? And you get all upset that the feds come in and tell you that you have to do it this way or that way? But now you want the feds to come in and tell some state they have to do it this way or that way when it comes to weed. Do they not think these things through? if you permit this sort of reasoning that says one state's liberal marijuana laws are negatively impacting another state's more restrictive marijuana laws, wouldn't that same logic apply to one state's liberal gun laws negatively impacting another state's more conservative gun laws? Now, I'm not weighing in on the gun thing again, not in this debate, or for that matter, the other things that I mentioned, gay marriage or abortion rights or anything like that. Although I think you're pretty clear where I stand on those things. My question is more about the consistency of the reasoning. You can't have it both ways, Nebraska. You can't get up all upset about how one state is using its state's rights when you're the ones who are often complaining that you don't get to use your state's rights. Let's be consistent about that and recognize that when we're talking about marijuana, unlike guns, unlike abortion, we're talking about something without a victim here. So that's where I've got a problem with Nebraska and this sheriff. The story is up on the DenverPost.com if you'd like to weigh in. Just something that was really bothering me. I wanted to get it off my chest. And another thing that's bothering me is a story out of Fox News. And it's entitled, "Young Women in Pot-Themed Instagram Memes at Risk," experts say. There's a new Instagram meme where scantily clad young women post photos of themselves smoking pot and using pot-themed hashtags to attract fans and likes. Oh, it's new. Fox News has just figured it out. It's 2016. Fox News has just discovered bud babes on Instagram. Congratulations, Fox News. Way to be on top of it. But anyway, they go on to talk about Instagram's basic guidelines, which say you may not post violent, nude, partially nude, discriminatory, unlawful, infringing, hateful, pornographic, or sexually suggestive photos or other content via the service. So Fox News goes and speaks to Patricia Dorso DeJamco, who's retired DEA and part of a private investigation firm now. And she says the following. She says, quote, "No persons should be posting pictures of themselves smoking pot and using pot-themed hashtags to attract fans and likes in any state. Even though 23 states have legalized medical marijuana and 4 states have legalized recreational marijuana, marijuana remains illegal federally," end quote. She says, the women using these pot memes, quote, "People who post pictures of themselves could potentially face criminal charges, although as an investigator, I would like to obtain additional evidence to support the illegal activity before I present the case to a prosecutor," end quote. Yeah, and so part of her defense of this, this ex-DEA person, is that one minimizes their potential employment and earning capacity, which may, in the end, affect their life. In addition, for instance, in a child custody battle, the pictures of anyone conducting any illegal activity or questionable moral turpitude could affect the outcome of custody. Yes, that's what we're fighting. See, the thing that's bothering me about this is that you're telling young women like Coral Reefer, like Stony Sochi, like who's the lady they got in this one? Girls Who Smoke Weed. That their legal act, that taking a photo and distributing a photo of something they're doing legally in Oregon, Washington, Alaska, or Colorado is something they need to beware of. Do we get these kind of warnings that young women shouldn't wear crop tops or bikinis and post photos of themselves drinking beers on Instagram? Oh, no, I forgot, because that's not federally illegal. They always come back to the federally illegal. Well, you know, we got a federal right to free speech, too, don't you?
I object to all this sex on the television. I mean, I keep falling off.
Yeah. Objecting to sexy girls on Instagram smoking weed. Might as well close down Instagram. We're going to take a break. Happy 420. I hope you got something enjoyable to smoke. We're going to hit on some more of this Durban poison, and we'll come back with some crazy tales out of California.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Remember, coming up at the top of the hour, Stoner Jesus, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, although it might be hard to know because of how little Debbie Wasserman Schultz wants these things advertised, but there's a Democratic town hall tonight on CNN. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Martin O'Malley, all meeting at a Democratic town hall in Iowa just a week before the Iowa caucuses, where the news is that Bernie Sanders has opened up an 8-point lead in Iowa and a 22-point lead in New Hampshire. That's big news, folks. Back in 2007, when the Iowa caucus, 2008 Iowa caucuses, you know, Hillary Clinton was supposed to be the anointed presidential, you know, nominee for the Democrats. And Barack Obama came out of nowhere, beat her in Iowa, and finished close in New Hampshire. That, of course, led to Barack Obama winning the nomination and the presidency. Hillary Clinton's facing a worse situation now with Bernie Sanders possibly winning the first two primary states and thus getting his name recognition out there to make a run at the Democratic nomination. The national polls still stand. The CNN's latest national poll still stands at Hillary Clinton with 52%, Bernie Sanders with 38%. That's a 14-point gap, but keep in mind, Hillary Clinton used to lead this by what? 40 points? 30 points, something like that, some big number. So she is feeling the burn. Bernie Sanders is closing the gap as more people become aware that he's the Democratic candidate that actually wants to change this system. Hillary Clinton just wants to protect it. And of course, Bernie's on our side when it comes to descheduling marijuana. So big Bernie Sanders supporters on the Democratic side here. On the Republican side, if I got to pick anybody, I'd got to pick Rand Paul. He's got the best marijuana stand of any of the Republicans out there. So that's the Democratic Town Hall meeting taking place tonight, 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern on CNN. Check that out. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about this story out of Canada. We reported last week of how a Canadian man was sentenced to life in prison for a nonviolent marijuana offense. Well, today, a second Canadian man has also been sentenced to life in prison for running a marijuana trafficking ring that rang up over $47 million in sales over 4 years. There's a federal court case. Federal jury convicted Mickey Woods already, but now has convicted Gaetan Donnell. He's age 42 and will spend the rest of his life behind bars in Canada. They were running an international marijuana smuggling ring out of Canada through a Native American nation that straddles the Canadian and American border. And then they were getting their weed sold all throughout the Northeast Corridor there. So the charge here is with running a continuing criminal enterprise over $10 million, right? Now, they're actually lucky. What? I know you did that. What? They're actually lucky. Let me get you the federal penalties for marijuana from the Normal website. And you can find this at normal.org. And it's under normal.org/laws/item/federal-penalties-2. It's a messy acronym, a messy URL, but you can find it on Normal site if you just Google. And the federal penalty for the cultivation of 1,000 plants or more, felony, 10 years to life. Sales and distribution, felonies, 10 years to life. Mandatory minimum sentences. But this is something that you got to know. For the more than $10 million in gross receipts during any one particular year, the defendants are subject to that mandatory minimum of this life in prison that they're getting. But there still exists on the U.S. federal code a death sentence for marijuana. These guys could have gotten the death sentence. Here's what Normal site says. The sentence of death can be carried out on a defendant who has been found guilty of manufacturing, importing, or distributing a controlled substance if the act was committed as part of a continuing criminal enterprise, but only if the defendant is one, the principal administrator, organizer, or leader of the enterprise, or is one of several such principal administrators, organizers, or leaders, that is a kingpin, which these guys were, and two, the quantity of the controlled substance is 60,000 kilograms or more of a mixture or substance containing a detectable amount of marijuana, or 60,000 or more marijuana plants, or if the enterprise received more than $20 million in gross receipts during any 12-month period of its existence. Okay, so you know what? I'm sorry. I misspoke. They were getting, let's see, $47 million over 4 years, but did they make more than $20 million in any 1 year? Did they do any more than 60,000 kilograms in any 1 year? Apparently not, because they weren't eligible for the death sentence. It's just, it blows people's minds sometimes when I tell them the United States is one of 9 countries in the world that has a death penalty for marijuana. Now, it's never been used. Nobody's been sentenced to death for marijuana in America. And constitutional scholars tell us that if someone did get sentenced to death for this marijuana situation, that it would most likely be found unconstitutional under the Eighth Amendment as cruel and unusual punishment. That may be why prosecutors don't seek the death penalty. Keep it there as a bargaining chip, but it's really a bluff because you knew if you ever used it, it would be found unconstitutional. The lawyer argued still that the life sentence was cruel and unusual punishment because, quote, The experience thus far has not indicated any harm to the communities involved. In fact, governments are regulating and taxing the legal sale and distribution of marijuana, creating millions of dollars for the improvement of education and other services in those states. End quote. So, according to the authorities, they sold more than 22,000 pounds of high-grade marijuana. 22,000 pounds and kilograms. Let's see, 22,000 pounds in kilograms is 10,000 kilograms. So, yeah, they didn't have the they didn't have the number they'd need for the death penalty anyway. Still, does it blow your mind to think that, yes, there is a death penalty for marijuana in this country? A death penalty for doing things that lots of legal growers and sellers are doing in Colorado and Washington already, and will soon be doing in Oregon and Alaska, and will likely be doing in California, Massachusetts, Nevada, Maine, and Arizona. That's the other one. By 2017. And what kind of future awaits these guys? Serving life in prison as they watch state after state after state end their punitive marijuana laws to legalize what they had been doing. I remember talking to Robert Platshorn about being in prison as, you know, Prop 19 was on the ballot. He was just out of prison, supporting Prop 19, and I asked him, what was it like being in prison, watching all these medical marijuana laws pass, and people growing legal amounts of weed, stuff that you were busted for, and it just tears at them. What a terrible, terrible thing. And speaking of terrible, terrible things, how about this other story? The escaped inmates. They got these three guys in California, violent felons, who escaped. Elaborate plan where they had to cut through grates and rebar. Someone snuck them in some tools and they managed to get away. One of these guys that got away has had previous incarcerations, violent incarcerations. But this guy, they recovered him. And let me see if I can find the guy's name. Nayeri. Yeah, Nayeri is the guy's last name. And this guy, Nayeri, was part of a kidnapping. He grew up in Fresno, and he was arrested in Prague in 2013 because he had eluded authorities and escaped to Europe, right? And so he was arrested and extradited back to the U.S. for trial because he was part of four people who kidnapped a pot dispensary owner and tortured him with a blowtorch in the Mojave Desert. What had happened is that this guy, Nayeri, ended up going for a weekend in Las Vegas, probably, you know, the hemp expo or whatever in Las Vegas. And they found out, this guy and his friends found out that this guy was extremely rich. And so they conspired a plan to kidnap and rob him. They followed him for weeks where he kept making trips to the desert, the Mojave Desert. And so these four geniuses thought, aha, he is secretly burying money out in the desert. So they kidnapped the guy. Now, this is all alleged. This is all going to court, so none of this is proven yet. But they allegedly kidnapped this guy, took him from his house with a hefty amount of cash and his girlfriend, who was there at the time, zip-tied the two of them, drove them to a van in the desert, tortured the dispensary owner with a blowtorch, probably, you know, from, you know, a dab torch, right? And then, when they get him out to the desert, they cut off his penis, poured bleach on him to destroy DNA evidence, and kept the penis so it couldn't be reattached later. Dumped the victims on the side of the road. The woman, still in zip ties, manages to run a mile down the road in the dark until she flags down a police car. And they manage to get some witnesses to the cars driving around to supply license plates that finally ended up catching this guy. They linked him to the crime through DNA evidence. And once he was done with the kidnapping, he fled to Iran. And Iran has no extradition treaty with the U.S., so U.S. investigators used a trick to get him to go to the Czech Republic. And once he landed in the Prague airport, he was arrested and extradited back to Orange County. He faces two counts of kidnapping for ransom and extortion, or to commit robbery, or a sex crime, aggravated mayhem, torture, and burglary in the first degree. So the thing that really burns me about this guy Nayeri, who cut the penis off a man and tortured him with a blowtorch, this guy, the only way he was able to do that at the time he did that is because previously he had been involved in a drunken driving incident. He killed someone in December of 2005. He was driving drunk and he crashed a vehicle of a 26-year-old friend who died in the accident. He posted bail and then bailed. And they finally caught him in Washington State. So he drives drunk, wrecks, kills a guy, jumps bail. And when they finally catch him and put him on trial and sentence him, convict him and sentence him for this drunk driving incident, he got 1 year in jail and the rest probation. 1 year in jail. There's another indication that he may have fled a felony charge in 2007 as well. That's according to the court records. So it really bothers me that here's a guy who drives drunk and kills someone, and he only gets a year, which leaves him free to then later kidnap, torture, and mutilate someone. And every time I see stories like this, I can't help but think, gosh, if only they'd have caught him growing some marijuana plants. If only they'd have caught him growing some marijuana plants, maybe there'd have been some mandatory minimum sentence. Maybe there'd have been some tough-on-pot judge that had put him in jail for a long, long time. But nope. All he did was kill somebody. So off you go. Go on out into society and create some more mayhem. You know, I'm not anti-cop. I'm not anti-prison. I'm a very law and order guy. I just want our laws and order and prisons to be focused on the people who harm the rest of us, not those people who are selling us and growing us some weed. And I think a lot of America agrees with me on this one.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabat since 2012.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Yarr, thar be pirates here. Arr, 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 arr.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, I'm taking it from all sides, I gotta tell you. So, lately, some of my articles have been attacking two different areas of what I call fantasy legalization, or true legalizers, or stoners against legalization, however you want to phrase it. And it's funny to me. I'm amused. I'm amused by these true believers who get so righteously angry at me. One of the first things they like to do is when I, you know, first of all, the generic theme here has been, don't blow smoke up my skirt about your perfect true legalization until you can show me you've got the polling, the money, the professionals, and the signatures to actually win. You don't have to convince me how great your legalization is. This is the first thing that many of them try to do is they come out, well, marijuana is, you know, cannabis hemp is phytoremediative and it will replenish the soils, and hemp is a perfect crop for rotation, and CBD has been shown to reduce seizures, and THC is good against glioblastomas and cancer, and hemp seed oil provides the perfect, yes, I know. Who do you think you're talking to? I literally spend every waking hour reading, writing, researching, analyzing, smoking, and talking about pot. It's all I do. I just don't know what's going through their mind. Like, they think, like, I somehow don't know this stuff, and if only I were enlightened, I would support their true legalization. And that's the second part that's wrong with their assumption, is this idea that I don't support their goals. Look, if I could wave a magic wand and make pot legal nationwide, it'd be an 18-year-old age limit. There'd be no limits on personal possession or personal cultivation, so long as you can prove it's all personal. You're not doing it commercially on the side, right? I'd have public use and public display of marijuana as reasonably as we publicly allow alcohol, right? I'd have cannabis cafes with outdoor seating patios, right? And even for juveniles caught with marijuana, there'd be no criminal issue with that. We'd treat it, you know, maybe like minor in possession of alcohol, but probably less than that. So you don't need to convince me how great your pot legalization initiative is that has no limits and low taxation and frees the pot prisoners and all the different things that you say about it. I'm with you. I'm all for that shit. Here's where we differ. I actually want to see shit get done. I actually want to see results. I guess because I'm not a person of faith, I demand evidence and experimentation that leads to results and changing of tactics when said experimentation does not present any results. In other words, I want to get to the place where 18-year-olds can use as much pot as they like and it's free and easy and hippy-dippy love and light. I'd love to get there. The difference is, I think getting there takes a series of steps over a extended period of time where you think, you true legalizers think, that we can just jump to the pot legalization you want right now. and it just ain't gonna happen. So I got these guys in Missouri who are proposing legalization, folks, literally. This legalization has no personal possession limit of marijuana or extracts, no cultivation limit on how many plants you can grow, no age limit as to who can do that, no limits on the public display of marijuana. You could smoke it anywhere you like. And legalizes driving while smoking pot. Now, do you think I'm against any of that? No. I'm all for it. I don't care if your 16-year-old smokes pot. A lot of them are. I don't care if there's not a limit to how much is personal, so long as, you know, we can reasonably show that it's personal. I got no problem with freeing all the pot prisoners. That's another thing it does. It immediately frees all the nonviolent pot prisoners. And I don't have a problem with toking and driving. I know lots of people who do it. I've never been afraid when I've ridden with them. But you don't need me to vote for your legalization. Evidence will show you, and my past history will show you, that I will vote for every legalization, even the ones that everyone else thinks suck. I'm looking at you, Ohio. I always support legalization. You don't need to convince me. You need to convince the soccer mom, the NASCAR dad, the churchgoer, the senior citizen, the Republican, the Latino. There's a lot of people you need to convince that no way in hell are they going to support limitless, ageless marijuana that can be smoked and driven on. No possible way. So if you were out there trying to get people's hopes up on that, in a state that had no other marijuana reform, fine, go for it, whatever. You're not going to win, you're not going to get on the ballot, but at least we're talking about it, and that's good. But when you're in a state like Missouri or California or Arizona, or what's the other one? No, I think those are the only ones that are left. If you're in one of those states that has professional, well-funded, majority-polled language, and you're trying to divert resources from that and actually trying to actively oppose that in the pursuit of your fantasy legalization, then we've got a problem. I take this really seriously. Like I said, it's all I do. This is all I do. This is all I care about. Professionally, is legalizing marijuana, is ending the persecution of my fellow pot smokers, regardless of the reason they want to smoke pot. I want to end that nationwide. And I think the way you do it, based on the evidence that we've had 13 shots at legalizing that have made the ballot in the 21st century, 13 times it's made the ballot statewide, 5 times it's passed if we include DC as a state. None of them made the ballot as a grassroots, all-volunteer, unfunded initiative. None of them that made the ballot had wide-open, limitless marijuana with no age limits that legalized smoking and driving. The one that came closest to that was Oregon 2012. Oregon 2012 had no limits on personal possession or cultivation, had a 21 age limit, and didn't change the DUI laws. That's the Oregon 2012 has come the closest of any initiative that's made the ballot in the 21st century. It has come the closest to being the kind of true legalization that these type of people support. And it failed miserably the same exact year Washington and Colorado were passing with flying colors. Voters had a look in 3 different states at legalization. Think of it as Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? They found the legalization in Washington was way too hard, right? Per se DUIDs and no home grow, and it passed with flying colors. Colorado legalization, an ounce here, 6 plants there, really strictly regulated, passed with flying colors. Oregon legalization, no personal limit, no cultivation limit, failed by 7 points, while the others were passing by 10. And that's why I have the attitude I have now. I don't have any time anymore to put faith in these fairy tale legalization plans. I saw too many of my friends get ripped off working for and supporting the 2012 unfunded grassroots legalization that failed. Time's getting short, and every year that marijuana is not legal in a state is another year that more people get arrested and more lives get ruined. So when there's a legitimate chance to make those reforms, you take it and you work hard for it and you try to win that battle and gain that ground. And then you work to get more ground. You work to get more reforms. You work to increase your territory, if we're going to use the war metaphor. These guys, these true legalizers, would have been against the invasion of Normandy in World War II because it didn't immediately sack Hitler. Nope, we need to send paratroopers immediately into Berlin and sack Hitler right now. Rather than capture Normandy, capture France, move through Europe, you take it piece by piece, people. And the other side of this, there's another side that gets angry at me. And it's the religious marijuana people. Now they're starting to hit me up. We got the Ann Armstrong, the Healing Church people. Get it? THC, the Healing Church. Isn't that clever? THC, isn't that clever? So we got that. And then we got some Native American Oklahoma or whatever they're called here in Oregon that are on my feed. And they're all complaining because I poo-poo their efforts to gain the legal right federally to use marijuana because of the First Amendment. Because it shall not infringe on an establishment of religion. And their religion says pot is holy. And so they get a special right to not be prosecuted. Once again, this is a situation where I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. The problem I've got with this fighting for the religious right to use cannabis is twofold. Number one, it doesn't work. There have been so many attempts to establish the religious right to use cannabis, and they've all gone on the premise that the Native Americans and the Brazilian Indians, through the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, it was recognized that they have the right to use ayahuasca and peyote in their ceremonies because they find them holy and they could use them as a sacrament. So if they can use peyote and ayahuasca, why can't other religious people like Rastas use ganja? And they think I disagree with them, and I don't. I agree. I think your First Amendment case is a good one. I think, absolutely. I think you should be able to use cannabis as a religious sacrament. The problem is, the courts don't agree. And there's longstanding precedent that says, basically, that there's this test they have to do in determining whether or not a religion can get away with using a sacrament. And that test is, how much are we burdening the religion versus how much are we burdening the federal government, right? The religion has the religious right to exercise its religion, but the federal government has the duty to enforce laws and keep us safe. So if you belong to some Mayan death cult that believes in virgin sacrifice, your right to religion is outweighed by the federal government's duty to protect the civil rights of the people, namely the right to not be sacrificed as a virgin. So when it comes to cannabis, they do that same sort of test. They say, well, how much are we burdening this religion? Well, we're burdening them a lot if we say they can't use cannabis. But on the other hand, how much are we burdening the federal government if we say that anyone who claims to be a believer can then just break federal drug laws? In the case of the Indians and the Brazilians who use ayahuasca and peyote, the religion won because allowing them to use these drugs didn't substantially burden the federal government from keeping those drugs illegal. Namely, not a lot of people use those drugs, and the few people that do, for religious purposes, are pretty reliably identifiable and certifiably sincere in their religious belief. But when it comes to the cannabis side, it tilts more on the federal government side because they realize the minute they say someone can use marijuana as a sacrament for their religion, we suddenly will have 28 million newly religious people joining Bob's Pot Church and the Healing Church and the Helping Church and the Herbal Church. All of these THC churches that will pop up out of nowhere and everyone will join them, and then the federal government can't possibly keep marijuana illegal. And once that precedent is set, wait for the Church of Cocaine and the Church of Meth and the Church of Heroin. And everybody will say that any drug they want to use is something holy. And then there will be no federal drug laws whatsoever. So that's why the cannabis one has never really worked. But it goes beyond that to me. At the core of it, it just offends me as an atheist. When someone is saying that they have a First Amendment right for freedom of religion to be able to use cannabis as a sacrament, they are implicitly saying people who do not believe it is a sacrament do not have that right. And I refuse to subscribe to the idea that under American freedom, I have to believe in a certain religion to enjoy a civil right. To me, it's not the First Amendment that gives us the right to use cannabis. It's the Ninth Amendment that gives us the right to use cannabis. The enumeration of certain rights within this Constitution is not meant to deny or disparage others retained by the people or the states. Translated. Just because we wrote down a bunch of rights in the Constitution, that doesn't mean that's all your rights. Y'all still have a whole bunch of rights we didn't bother to write down. And as a bunch of hemp farmers in an agrarian economy, I can't believe that the Founding Fathers would have thought it necessary to write down the right to grow and consume cannabis. They might as well have written down, well, let's make sure we get down that everyone has the right to breathe oxygen. They couldn't have ever even conceived of someone preventing that right to plant crops and harvest the results and use them. That'd just be nonsense to them. They make no sense whatsoever to those people in that time. So that's my problem with the religious thing, is that it feels a little elitist to me. It feels a little like we're special and we're going to get our special rights because we belong to the special God club. Now, they try to tell me, no, Russ, we believe in your right, too. We believe in your right, too. Well, if you do, then fight for my right instead of just fighting for your own specific right, your own little separate special right. I don't want to have to belong to any invisible sky fairy club to be able to smoke my pot. It's a civil right, and I should be left alone to enjoy it any way I choose. For any reason I choose. So to all you haters out there, I'm the guy who supports the most legalization. I'm just practical about understanding the realities of how it actually becomes accomplished in this country. And stop trying to triple dog dare me to debate you publicly. Ooh, you won't dare debate me publicly. Motherfucker, I got a phone line right here, 971-533-7111, open to the public, broadcasting your thoughts for free every weekday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Nut up and give me a call sometime. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you live in Boise tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Flavor. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. We go to the Oregon drug war data mines today, specifically the website marijuana.oregon.gov. And on that website, you can find a link to the cities and counties that have enacted bans on marijuana commerce.